Super exciting to be here. Super exciting to be with a chevra that's ready to expand your horizons in learning. Growing up, you'll often hear, depending on what yeshiva you're in, you may hear about Brisker Torah, wondering what it's all about. I imagine different guys are coming from different places and different backgrounds. I imagine most, if not all of you, are sitting on a typical morning yeshiva learning Gemara b'chavrusa in preparation for Shir and Chazar for Shir. No doubt many of you are also learning Rishonim inside, or beginning to learn a Tosa Sinai with a Chavrusa, learn a Rambam, learn a Rajba, try to pick apart a Rana or a Ritva. I want to do something in the, this is sort of a unique, the night shir is a chance for us to broaden our horizons. And so I call it Bechlal, is a chance for us to broaden our horizons, experiment with different vistas in learning. Night shir in particular is a chance for us to broaden our horizons, try on some different things. What I'd love to do is over the course of this series of shiurim to have a chance to actually learn Brisker Torah inside, to have a chance to learn an achronim inside, which may be a new experience, at least for some of you, and specifically to experience the taste of brisk. I imagine we'll be largely focused on the Brisker Rav, the Sefer I have right in front of me. And we may expand over the course of time. We'll see how many shiurim we have together. We may expand over the course of time to his brother, the Gram, and to his nephew, the Rav, as well. Just to sketch the family tree very, very, very briefly. The dynasty, the way it's usually, the Salvechik dynasty, the way it's usually thought of, begins with the Beis Halevi, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi. His son, his most famous son, he had a number of sons, his most famous son was named Chaim, Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Salvechik, probably named for Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. Reb Chaim had several children. The two most famous ones are an older son, Reb Moshe Salvechik, and a younger son, the Brisker Rav, Velvel. Zev in Yiddish is, Zev is wolf, so Zev in Yiddish is Velvel. And Litvaks tend to name people, use the second name. So if his name is Yitzchak Zev, they call him Reb Velvel. Reb Moshe Salvechik and Reb Velvel both named sons for their grandfather, the Beis Halevi of Yosef Dov. Reb Velvel's son was Reb Beryl, who was Mamshech his yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Reb Moshe Salvechik's eldest son, Reb Yosef Dov, Reb Yasha Ber, was the Rav, who you know from YU, who you know from Boston, and whose Torah mitzvah has shaped you, will continue to shape you. And we'll hopefully have a chance to learn that as well inside. But we begin tonight, as I think we're probably going to give primary focus. Reb Chaim is, in a certain sense, drew a lot from his father, but in a certain sense, sort of began to craft the unique flavor that we call brisk. Reb Chaim's Sefer is very, I find personally, very, very hard to read. And what I'd love to do with you, as I mentioned before, is not just to talk out Brisker Torah outside, but to have a chance to read pieces inside as well. Personally, I find Reb Velvel's Sefer to be much, much more ranochi, much more accessible. So that's what we're going to do. If you could hand this around. And while this goes around, every night, every two nights, every night, we'll see how long the sugyas are. We'll switch to a fresh sugya. We'll start tonight, just to whet your appetite. Think about the following shaila, the following two questions. One is, imagine an old school shul. Whenever you build a shul, you always want to have light on top of the bima so the Balkori can see the Sefer Torah clearly. So nowadays, that means it's some sort of electric chandelier or electric fixture. But obviously, before Thomas Edison changed the world, that meant you had candles often above the bima. So Moshe Feinstein was asked about the following scenario. Candles above the bima, sooner or later, if things are a little askew, if a drop of wax falls and hits the Sefer Torah. Okay? So a drop of wax falls, hits the Sefer Torah. So if the letters are all still written properly, but there's one letter that's covered, or one word, whatever it is, it's covered by the wax. So if that's not where you're laning, that's not an issue. If you're laning, you need to lay mitoch haksav. You have to read if you're a balkor. It's important to know. Every single word has to be read. Even if you know it, balpeh, yechazer, the laning 25 times, but you have to be reading the words mitoch haksav. It's reading the words from the letters of the Sefer Torah. So if there's a drop of wax on a word that you need to lane, that's a problem. During the week, maybe you can peel it off. Shabbos, that can get a little more dicey. If you're worried that by peeling off, you may peel off some letters, got to figure out, is that a problem of mochik? Moreover, it wouldn't make Sefer Torah possible because the letters are still written well underneath. Just cover it. It's like putting a piece of cloth or a piece of paper on top of the letter. That's what I think most posts can assume. The letter is there. It's covered by wax. The letter is there. But if you want to read it, you got to uncover. Just like Sefer Torah is rolled, most of the letters are covered by the rest of the roll. But that's fine, but not if you need to read it. If it falls on, if a drop of wax falls on Shem Hashem, so then even during the week, erasing Shem Hashem is an Iser, so that's going to be a more problematic situation. Is there a solution? A drop of wax fell on Shem Hashem, and it's in the Sedra that I'm laning now. Is there any solution? Question number one. Question number two. What is, a little bit of a riddle, which halacha in Shulchan Aruch comes up by far more times for a Jew who's seeking to keep halacha, which halacha in Shulchan Aruch comes up by far more times per day than any other? Hundreds. The Siman Shulchan Aruch, not that it applies all the time, but it iterates hundreds and hundreds of times every day. This Siman Shulchan Aruch comes up again and again and again. What din is that? Two questions to think about. And with that, the answers to those questions and others we will find as we explore the brisk rub in front of us. Those just came in. Everyone have a handout? We're good? Fantastic. So we were talking about Sefer Torah. You may feel a little familiar for those who are learning Maseches Megillah, which is all of us. We were talking about what mitzvah, what halacha and shulchan aruch is most common, and now we turn our attention to what seems like an unrelated area of halacha, a detail, and a crime. Nothing positive, seems like it's absolutely unconnected, but kedarka shel Torah, as the Shechter found the coin from the Tosefta and Sanhedrin, divrei Torah ani b'malkam echad v'ashirim b'malkam echad. So the way the Torah Shel Peh is organized is often you look in a different area and that look in one area shed light on something else. And B'Torah's brisk, that aspect of Talmud Torah, the interconnectedness of seemingly disparate parts of Torah, particularly comes to the fore. So the brisker of this is, you see on the second side of the sheet, is the brisker of which we'll get to, but we'll first to take a look at the Rambam that he's discussing. Talking about a Rambam that talks about nothing positive. Nothing friendly. Hilchas Avodah Zarah, you see in the top of the first page. Hilchas the Rambam, Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis Halacha Zayin. The Rambam spends the first perek of Hilchas Avodah Zarah on the history of Avodah Zarah. History of Avodah Zarah, and then the rise, the history of Avraham Avinu, and the rise of Avram, who was the one of the great champions of monotheism. And then at Perek Beis, Rambam turns attention to the actual dinim of Avodah Zarah. He talks about the Isur Chamer against serving Avodah Zarah. And then, in Halacha Vav, the end of which appears in this copy, he says, we're going to turn our attention from the Isur against worshipping and Avodah Zarah to a related issue, which is Rachman al-Tzlan cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mishnayos in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Psukim say it's a severe, severe Avera. Person curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an expression, it's a very violent, verbally violent expression of a lack of Emunah. It's a verbally violent expression of Kfira. And that's the bit that just got cut off. I'm sorry, that's just the way the copy is. And he says, because there's so much overlap, about to actually do an act of worship to another deity, that's a more active type of Kfira. Megadeth, to blaspheme, to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's just verbal, but the Rambam says, conceptually, they're very similar, they're both rejections of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine hegemony, the rejections of Hashem Echad. With Pnezeh, top line, you see over here, top line, end of Halacha Vav, with Pnezeh, kilalti dina Megadeth, behilchas avos kochavim. That's why I chose to include the halachas of blasphemy of Rachman al-Slan cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Halachas Avodah Zarah, Sheshneim Kofrim Bikrim, because they are both rejections of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Ve'elu hein dini ha-megadeth. What's the very first thing? The Rambam is going to have a number of paragraphs, number of halachas, talk about the ins and outs of this crime, of blasphemy, of the Mekalas Hashem. The very first issue that he raises is the one that the Brisker Rav is going to turn our attention to. Eina Megadev Chayiv Skila, Torah says, Mishnayis in Sanhedrin, Perek Arba Misos, explained based on the Psukim, that that if a person violates Megadev, potentially it's the most severe capital punishment, Zechiyiv Skila, but that's only Achi Faresheh Hashem HaMeyuchad Shel Arba Osios. To curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the fullness of the crime, means that I name HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I curse him. Just as if I were to name to curse a person, I'd be cursing John or cursing Avram or cursing whoever it is. So to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that I'm naming HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's vile, it's also silly, but it is what it is. A person uses his mouth in one of the worst ways one could possibly use his mouth. Lashon Hara is pretty bad, but Lashon Hara is not a Chiyuv Skila. It doesn't get much worse than this. So, and the fullness of the crime is only if I actually named HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his, so to speak, personal name, the Shem HaMeyuchad. We have many names, as we know, that we use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some of them are just adjectives, Rachum, V'chanon, Avinu Shabbat Shamayim, and so on and so forth, Avinu Malkeinu. Some are names that are more direct, specific, proper nouns, so to speak, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we cannot use casually, like Elohim, like Shakai, like Tzavachos. The Shemo She'enam Nimchakin, the names that cannot be erased. And then at the top of the list, the way the Rambam presents it, is based on the Gemara, if you want to see where, you don't have time to look that up now, you see on the side the Kesef Mishnah, as is his job, sends you right away what's the source. You see on the side, Sanhedrin, our Perek Arba Misos, Daphne Nei, Daphne Vav. If you want, you can take a look there at the Sugya. The Rambam's Psak is that, at Machlokas HaTanam, Rambam's Psak is your only chayv, it's the fullness of the crime, is not if this criminal named Hashem by referring to him as Racham V'chanan, nor even if he named Hashem by referring to him as Shakai, Tzavakas, or Elohim. Those are all crimes, averus, terrible. But the full chet, we'll take question in a moment, the full chet is only if a Jew, Rachman Letzlan, names HaKadosh Baruch with the Shem HaMiyuchad, his unique name, his proper name, so to speak, which is Shel Arba Osios. His unique name, the four-letter unique name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which one is that? The Rambam has three opinions. He says, Shehu Alav Dalad Nun Yud. That's the name that we use when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. V'yivarecho so b'shem en ha'shem o'she'en en mukhakim. And the Jew names HaKadosh Baruch Hu by that name and goes on to curse that name using one of the first or second level names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nokev Shem Hashem. If a person names HaKadosh Baruch Hu, refers to him very specifically, to be nokev, is to refer to specifically. Al Shem HaMeyuchad Chayiv Skila, if you refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu very specifically with a unique proper name, then you're Chayiv Skila. Al Shari Kinuim, if a person only names HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the object of his curse using some other name, the Azhara. It's a violation of a lav, but it's not the full Chayiv Skila. That's the first opinion that the Rambam gives. Anything surprising about that? That the Shem HaMeyuchad is Alav Dal Nun Yud? Oh, yeah?
I was going to say, if it's, you know, very concerned such a, like, vile over there, it's more about the concept of what you're doing. I want to say it's so totally on the Shem, specifically.
Okay, good. So the Rambam is, and there, it is indeed a Machlokas HaTanan. The Rambam is assuming, like, V'chachamim, that you're right, as is so often the case, Halacha is a blend of internal and external. Halacha is a blend of the values, good or bad, that are at play, and the action. Some of us have been learning Sefer HaChinuch together, Sefer HaMitzvahs, which focuses our attention on the interplay between the actions that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do or not do, and the premise of how that shapes me for better or for worse. So yeah, it's true that either way you're expressing a vile, something vile inside, but it's only fully criminal if it was done. And if the act was also equally expressive. Yeah, I had a question.
Is there a specific text that you'd have to say with Hashem's name in terms of the curse?
Yeah, it's a funny thing. It's Iraq, I was saying before, it's not only vile, it's also silly. To curse a person fully, just like to give a bracha, is to say, May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yerech Hashem Yishmeh, May HaKadosh Baruch Hu take good care of you. To curse a person, it would be to say, May HaKadosh Baruch Hu strike you down. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yakeh, Hashem asks this fellow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should punish this fellow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring terrible things to this fellow. So to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu is vile and also bizarre. You're saying, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, strike Yakeh, that we use we were so uncomfortable with this, with saying this, the sugis use the word Yosei, because it starts with Yud, it has four letters, because we can't bring ourselves to say even an alternative name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so vile. Say Yakeh Yosei as Yosei. So the S Yosei is saying not Yakeh Yosei as some guy named Reuven, but we're saying that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the object, the S Yosei, has to dafka be the most specific name of HaKadosh, Shem HaMiyuchad, the unique name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is, I would have thought, the unique name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is four letters, it's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Surprisingly, the Rambam said it's Alf Dad Nun Yud. But we're not done. V'yesh mishapiresh, she'eno chayv el al shem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. There are others, Machlokas HaGaonim probably, there were Gaonim who said, it's only the fullness of this Avera if you're applying the curse to Alf Dad Nun Yud. There were others who said, sheet number two, it's only if you're applying to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei.
Is there another book?
Ah, fantastic. It says the Rambam, Ani Omer, and I say, very rare, that the Rambam says, I'm going to say a Chiddush. The Rambam writes that he's never, everything, 99.99% of the Mishnah Torah is quotes from works of Chazal. A Mishnah Tosefta, Bava Yerushalmi, Midrash Halacha, only when he's not giving his own Chiddush unless he says, I think. It's one of the rare times he says, and I think, Shal Shneihu Niskal, Chayv Skila for either one.
What's
Pshayim? So that's I would love to talk about that at a different time. But that his goal, his stated goal in the Sefer was not to write Chidushin. The stated goal of the Mishnah Torah was to write an abridged, collected version of the Maskanas of the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what he was trying to do. There are other Sfarim where he gives his own Deya, but here he's really trying to organize the conclusions of the Torah Shabbat Peh. He's trying to organize the conclusion of Chazal. Yeah, question.
In the way we pronounce
Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, yes. He means presumably pronouncing Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. We have lost the Masorah on what the proper Nekudos are. Those Nekudos they have in the Tanakh, which gave rise to the way there's one particular Christian denomination that uses what they think is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in their name, the witnesses. That pronunciation, their nekudos are based on the way Chumashim are printed. The way Chumashim are printed is really working in the nekudos of the way we pronounce Alv, Dalet, Nun, Yud, which is Shiva, Cholam, Kamatz. That's not. So often the printers sort of, they want to put in some nekudos, they stuck in. They stuck in that. Those nekudos into Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. That's why you look in the Koran Tanakh, they just leave it Yud-Kei Vav-Kei without any nekudos, because we don't know what the nekudos are, so we just present it as the letters as they're written in the Torah. Now, take a look in, turn and take a look in the Brisker Rav. You have the Brisker Rav on the back of the page, or if you whirl along your own Brisker Rav, by all means you can, one way or the other. Ba'ani Omer, here you see Hilchos Avodah Zarah, right over here. This is one of the shortest, if not the shortest piece in the whole Sefer. Is this piece, the first piece of the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, talk of this topic. See, he opens, Perek Beis al Chazayin, Ani Omer, and I say, Shal Shneihu Niskal. Rambam's opinion is, it could be Chayv Skila either for naming and applying a curse to Alv Dalet Nun Yud, the way we usually refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or for naming and applying the curse to Yud Kei Vav Kei. You see why I copied the Rambam first, because the Brisker Rav assumes you have a Rambam, it just gives you one line without context.
The Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is also a word in modern Hebrew, no?
It is used in modern Hebrew as well? Okay, that's true. Adoni, but with a Kamatz Yud rather than with a Chirik Yud, Hashem Hashem. Ein Kof Lamed, a good Rosh Tevis to know. Ein Kof Lamed is verbal punctuation. Adkan Lashono. It's the equivalent of very good. It's equivalent of end quotes. Often, the beginning of a quote will be Vav Zayin Lut Vizel Lashono. So instead of using quotation marks, they use that. And then Tzadi Ayin is the equivalent of a question mark. Tzarech Yin Abir Bezet. Briskrov says, I don't understand. We need to work on this Rambam. Tarei Zelech Ora Pashat HaKadosh. You're only Chayiv if you curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unique name. Which one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unique name? They are both the one unique name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, make up your mind. It could be this one, it could be that one. Personally, I would have guessed, if I didn't know any better, I would have guessed like the second position Gohanim. Yudkei Vavkei is the ultimate name. We pronounce it differently, but the ultimate name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudkei Vavkei. Okay, but it's logically tenable that either one is the one. But how could they both be the one? Either or. They are both names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but how can they both be the one unique name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There may be many names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you cannot erase. There may be seven different Shemosh Einim Chakim. But how do you have multiple only ones? You're my one and only. You can't say you're my one and only to more than one. Can you? Yeah, what are you saying, Micah?
Well, I see how the nature is strange, but there are plenty of times in the month of Sabbath where just make zero and not to both.
Yeah. In a Hanami, if we're Mesupik, we might be Machmer in both directions. But, the Rambam didn't say, you're right. If he would have said, be careful not to violate either situation, for sure. But he says, Al Shneim Hu Niskal, we would give Skila for either one. That's not Misafik, that's Betorah Zvada. It's very sharp. If we just say an Aser, maybe that's Safik Reis L'chimra. But to give an Onesh, we only give an Onesh if we're certain. We don't, Rahman al-Salam, get a showing capital punishment. It's only if we're absolutely certain. So this must be Batara's Vade. Good point, yeah.
I mean, perhaps...
What's your name, by the way?
Mayor Finkel, yeah. Perhaps it's possible that these two names of God are kind of like Shamor and Zachor, and that they're the same thing, but they appear to us as two.
Oh, fantastic. So there seems to be, as Mayor's pointed out, there seems to be some sort of... Somehow they're both filling that same slot, and maybe they're somehow connected. So that's fantastic. So let's take a look. Let's take a look in the Brisker Rav, and let's see how it plays out. Let's continue to unpack his question. How could it be that you get skila for either of the two? That's problem number one. And problem number two that the Brisker Rav raised is second kasha. The gam ikar haplukta shemevi arambam, the root of the machlokas. The Brisker Rav is at first bothered. The Rambam Shita seems utterly untenable. Sarachim. How could that be? And then he says, I have a second question. Zoom out. There were three Shitos. Mechiyav and Gamal Shem Adnos, Olo, Tzricha Bir Perish. How do you understand what are the three Shitos arguing about? Ma Yisod Peluktav Samazet. What's the Yisod HaMachlokas? Pelukta is Aramaic for Machlokas. And what is the Yisod HaMachlokas? Yisod HaMachlokas is terminology that you probably come across in the past. I see a Machlokas, a Rishonim. It's typically, not always, but typically they're talking about something behavioral, something practical. You can or cannot do this. You are or are not chai if you do that. You should do the mitzvah this way or that way. Right? Typically, Rishonim are presenting their Shitos in terms of practicality. What you can or can't do, what we do or don't do. And we want to figure out, And this is something, the Brisker was not the first to do this by far. They were the first to be perhaps more methodically explicit about this. He says, each one looked at the Gemara and read it a certain way. How did they each understand the din such that they came to the following practical, do this, don't do that, do it like this, do it like that? What's the Yisod HaMachlokas? What's the conceptual difference that's underlying, that's generating the practical difference? Practically, it's a machlokas to chayv skila if you curse avdan nun yud, if you curse you kev av kerbo. But what's driving that? So that's the second question. The first question, which was more pressing, was how do you make sense of the Rambam? It seems untenable. The Nira Lomar Bezet. So the Brisker Rav says, here's what I think. Where does this all come from? Rambam Sira Lane, here the Brisker Rav makes a critically important move. Because what he does, and this is a movement that will recur in many pieces of Brisker Rav. Here you see, I said before when we left those two big, opening questions about the wax drop and the most commonly repeated din in Shulchan Aruch. All of a sudden, it seems like we're going down a rabbit hole into a very narrow and vile area of halacha. What are the details? There is a din of Megadev Ischayev Skila. Exactly what name is he naming? What's the Kol Hashem Yuchad? Seems like we're gotten to something very, very narrow and specific. But the Brisker Rav, they look at our Rambam and say, yeah, but it's that specific detail is a way of getting at something much larger. Well, how does he pivot to something much larger and much more general? So he pivots to, well, let's talk about, and this is what Meir Gaon is thinking about, the relationship between Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud, and Yud, Kei, Vavke. And you mentioned before, I'll stop. You mentioned before that, remind me what your first name is?
Yonatan.
I think it was Yonatan I mentioned before. I'm sorry, I'm bad with names. It could take me a little time to remember. Hopefully, I'll get to know the Chevra. That whenever it says, as it does probably thousands, not tens of thousands of times in the Sefer Torah, whenever it says Yud, Kei, Vavke, we don't say anything that starts with a Y. We say, pronounce it as Aleph, Dal, Nun, Yud. So that's already a din that relates the two. Where does that come from? So Brisker Rav says, and here he pivots again from the specific to the Yisod, to the general Yisod. Rambam Svirle, Rambam must think, that the Hadamim be Kiddushin Daf Ayin Aleph. There's a Gemara Kiddushin Daf Ayin Aleph, which is the source for that general din. Kisiv Zeh Shemi Le'olam V'Zeh Zichri L'Dor Dor. Towards the beginning Sefer Shemos, Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the process of introducing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Zeh Shemi Le'olam V'Zeh Zichri L'Dor Dor. This is my name forever, but this is Zichri, the way it's going to be pronounced throughout the generations. So it sounds like there's a name and there's a pronunciation. Plus, the Gemara, I believe, also stresses that Zeh Shemi Le'olam is written without a vav. So it looks like Le'alein. That's my name, but that's for hiding. And here's how Zeh Zichri, and this is how I'm pronounced, Lahazkir, this is how I'm pronounced throughout the generations. So the Gemara derives from that, the Brisker Rav continues to quote, Lo kashani nichtav ani nikra, I'm not called the way I'm written, nichtav ani v'chule, dot, I'm written yudke vavke, v'nikra, but I'm pronounced, I'm called, v'alav dalad, with alav dalad nun yud. Once again, ayin kaf is ad kan, end of the quote of the Gemara. So the Rambam looked at that Gemara in Kiddushin. Gemara in Kiddushin, again, Ayin Aleph says, we learn from that Pasuk and Sefer Shmos that when you see Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Sefer Torah, you pronounce it as though it was written Aleph Dal Nun Yud. How do you understand that? The Brisker Rav says the following. Nemar
b'zeh dina. When you say Zeshmi, meaning that's my name, and
Yud Kei Vav Kei is my name in concept, but that's La'alein, that's hidden, that's not generally said. V'zeh, Aleph Dal Nun Yud, is Zichri L'Dor Dor. That's the way I'm going to be pronounced and called throughout the generations. So when the Gemara said that, how do you understand that? So Brisker Rav is brief here, and he highlights one particular way of understanding. Hakriya Shal Adnus, how would you have understood that? But then that every time you see the word Yud Kei Vav Kei, you should say Aleph Dal Nun Yud. How you've understood that? Does it fit into any more general halacha categories you're familiar with? Every time I see this word, I pronounce it that way. Sounds like Kriya Ksiv, right? Which you have throughout. The Gemara Darm talks about the fact that scattered throughout Chamish Chumash Torah and other parts of Tanakh as well, you'll have Kriya Ksiv. Where the din is halacha Moshe Sinai, that you're supposed to write one particular word in the Sefer Torah, but you read it as though it's a different word. Kriyuksin. But then you could have understood that way, that every time, that this is a sort of a general global kriyuksin. Every time it says Yukei Vavke, you should instead read Av Dal Nun Yud. Could have imagined that. But the Brisker Rav, this is a more terse Brisker Rav. In other cases, he would have maybe said, well, you could have said like that. Here, I told you, this is the shortest piece. So he just jumps in, says it's important to be sensitive. So when he says the child's like this, appreciate what alternatives he's rejecting. So he says, it's not a kriyuksiv. That's the unspoken piece. Rather, a kriya shal adnus, he gam kriya al hashem shal havaya. That pronunciation, ado, is also the way you pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, Brisker Rav is saying, it's not, there's one word Yud Kei Vav Kei, different word Aleph Dal Nun Yud, and it's a Kriya Ksiv. You write this word, but you say that word. No. this Rav says, that's not what the Chumash is saying. The Chumash, according to the Rambam, is not saying that there's a global kriyuksiv. Every single time you give up, there's always automatic kriyuksiv, a default kriyuksiv. No, says the Brisker Rav. The Rambam understood a different way of understanding this din. It's that Ado is, usually Hebrew is a phonetic language, and you can figure out how to pronounce a word through the spelling. Unlike English, George Bernard Shaw, Lahavdil George Bernard Shaw from all the other holy tzaddikim mentioned up until now, George Bernard Shaw is a somewhat famous English playwright. He was very intrigued, most famous probably for Pygmalion. He was intrigued, and this became sort of this like quixotic crusade of his at one point. He became intrigued with the fact that English is unusually non-phonetic. The spelling is so often does not correspond at all to the pronunciations. If you grow up speaking English, it's sort of adapted to it earlier. If you come to English as an adult second language, it's a mess. And to demonstrate how bad it was, he said,
there was a mark here before.
Fair enough. Okay, you'll imagine G-H-O-T-I. G-A, some of you have come across. G-H-O-T-I. What does that spell? Not the name of the gangster, not John Gotti.
Gota.
G-O-T-T-I.
Gota.
So, that's what it sounds like, right? So Shaw said, well, it spells fish. Fish? You said fish? I said, sure. Because G-H is a, like in the word rough, and O is an I, like in the word women, and T-I is a sh, like the word action. So that was his way of demonstrating how ridiculously non-phonetic the orthography, the spelling of English. So he had this whole crusade. He's going to totally revise English spelling and make it all phonetic, and obviously that went nowhere. Hebrew, on the other hand, tends to be very, very phonetic. And you can look at a word, and 99 times out of 100, figure out how to pronounce it, just looking at the word. Certainly you have the kudos, and you can figure out how to pronounce it. So the Brisker Rav says is, but there's an exception. There are a couple of words that are not totally phonetic. There are a lot of silent yuds, and most of the time you have the word he in Chumash is spelled with a vav, and the same for Torah. That's pretty not phonetic. But the Brisker Rav says maybe this din, this drasha, zeshmi lo'olam zezechil daradara, din daraisa, it's being mechadesh that what? Not a kriyuksiv. Not that there's one word yud kevavke, a different word opt-out yud. And when you see this word, say that word. That's how kriyuksiv works. When you see this word, say that word. No. This is another, the kriya, let's take a look at the language of the Brisker Rav inside again. Ha kriya shel adnus, the pronunciation of ado, that pronunciation, he gam kriya al hashem shel havaya. It's not ado. It's not only a way of pronouncing Alf Dal Nun Yud. It's also one of the pronunciations of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Torah was not Mechayesh or Kriyuk Siv. This is a non-phonetic pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. There is a phonetic pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. As you said before, a couple minutes ago, we have lost the Masorah of the proper Nekudos, so we're not sure what the phonetic pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei is. It's something, whatever it is. Okay, one's not allowed to say it except under particular circumstances. But it's out there somewhere. It presumably starts with a yud sound, with a y. What comes after that? I'm not sure. Even if I knew, I couldn't say it in public. But Priskov says the Torah is mechadesh. The Gemara Kiddush is darshin from that pasuk, meaning of Shmos. That what? That there's another non-phonetic pronunciation of yud kei vav kei, and it sounds like ado. So we always use the second pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's not that there's one word written here, we're saying a different word. It's there's a second way to pronounce that word. Sort of like tomatoes and tomatoes, potatoes and potatoes. So Lahavdil, there are two radically different ways of pronouncing Yud Kei Vav Kei. One that starts with a Y sound, and the other is Ado. So when you say Ado, that could either be a pronunciation of Kei Vav Kei or the one and only pronunciation of Av Dal Nun Yud. Oh, 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 oh. Once you say that, then the Brisker Rav says, ooh, what do I gain? But this is a great creative rethinking of the relationship between the the constituent ideas here. What do I gain by saying it's not that the Torah is Mechayesh or Kriyaksiv, rather the nature of the din is that there's a second pronunciation, Kevavke, a non-phonetic pronunciation, Kevavke. What have I gained? That's horizon expanding, makes my mind tingle, but how does that help me? In Cain, he says that solves our problem. After Etzem Hashem Shal Adnos Lav Shem Amiyuchadu, the actual name Alv Dal Nun Yud, the Etzem, the thing itself, the actual name Alv Dal Nun Yud, that is not the Shem Amiyuchad. The Brisk Rav says the Rambam never meant to say there are two different names; they are both the name. How could two different entries both be the one and only? If you're my one and only, then you're not my one and only. So if there's one and only, then that's one and only. So he says, you're right, the Rambam didn't mean that Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, those two separate, disparate, independent words, are both the one and only name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It can't be. Which one is it? It's Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, what we thought originally. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. But the Rambam said, Al Shnei Hu Niska. No! After, once again back inside, after Etzem Hashem Shal Adnus Lav Shem HaMiyuchadu, the underlying, the actual name, Av Dal Nun Yud, that's not the Shem HaMiyuchad. Which is the Shem HaMiyuchad? Obviously, Yud Kei Vav Kei. I, the Rambam, sell Shnei Huniskal, yeah! Al Kapanim, Hare Bezeh Shepir Shal Hashem Da Adnus, when you said Ado, which word were you saying? That's the pronunciation of two different words. They're homophones. They're two words that sound the same. When you say Ado, maybe you were saying Av Dal Nun Yud, or maybe you were saying the other pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ooh. So it says the Brisker Rabbah. When I say, there is no text. Here's this criminal, this Jewish criminal, is saying the name Ado, and then proceeding to curse it. Mikri Shepirish Gam Hashem Yuchad. That's not only a pronunciation of Av Dal Nun, that is a pronunciation of Kei Vav Kei. So I would say, look, whether he said something that starts with a Yud, or he said Ado, either one is a pronunciation of the one and only Shem HaMiyuchad. It's one and only Shem HaMiyuchad, Yud Kei Vav Kei. But there are two ways to say it. That's what he was driving at. That's what he was driving at by saying, let's rethink the nature of this din, Zeshmi la'olam, Zezachri la'dar dar. Why do you want, well, it's not a Kriya Ksiv, it's really the Torah's Mechash, a second non-phonetic pronunciation. Because now I can solve this Rambam. He goes on to say, that's why you're Chayv in Megadev. That is Bechlav Nokev Shem Hashem. You have directly named the one and only unique name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudkei Bavkei. The Kachi Nekiva Social Shame Zelina Kriya. That's the way you enunciate this name. When it comes to pronunciation, the way you identify Yud Kei Vav Kei is Ado. When it comes to writing, it's with Yud. But pronouncing is usually Ado. Lohaki Kasa, Shnei Uniska. That's why now we understand the Rambam's Shita beautifully. Bengahu Bengah. Regardless of whether you pronounced Ye or Ado, either way, Hare Piresh La Shema Miuchad. You directly articulated a pronunciation of the one and only name, Shehu Shem Avai, that is Yud Kei Vav Kei. But he says, but of course, and then in the Brisker Rav's that I mentioned before, unlike his father, Reb Chaim, he tends to repeat himself, makes himself very clear. Avil inachanami, al feinun, ze gama rambam svirulein. Derak Shem Avai, hu demikri Shem Amyuchad, velo Hashem shal adnus. Even the Rambam agrees, there is one only name, and it is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The question is just, what's the guy saying? And the Brisker Rav goes on to say in the next paragraph something fantastic. He says, as a matter of fact, he goes a step further, and to this, perhaps not everyone agrees. He says, and as a matter of fact, I don't just think it's the Rambam Shita, I think everyone agrees. Right? Because remember, the Brisker Rav had opened with two questions. First question is, I don't understand the Rambam Shita. Shita number three. Al Shnei Munizka. But then he said, Bechlal Tzarech Bir. The first one was a Tzarechi and Akasha. Second one was a Tzari Beis and Tzarech Bir. I'd like to understand what's the Bir HaMachlokas. What's the Yisod HaMachlokas? So you might think that where he's going is, okay, have Chakira. Right? Two ways of understanding the nature of Zeshmi La'olam Zezichi Dada. Okay, so that's what's driving the Machlokas. But he says, no. Brisker Rav is so taken by this idea that it's not a Kriya Ksiv, it's really It's really just a different pronunciation of the same name. He says everyone agrees. Really? Everyone agrees? So then what are they arguing about? He says, they're arguing about. Why is it that the second day, for instance, in the Rambam, right, going back to the first side of the page, because the second day of the Rambam said only Yud Kei Vavke. Right? Yesh Mish Mavarish Enochai V'el Al Shein Yud Kei Vavke. What's wrong with the Rambam's Svar? Rambam had a good point. But if you say Ado, you're also pronouncing. That's a pronunciation. Not only a pronunciation, the dominant pronunciation, although on phonetic, of Yud Kei Vavke. It's a good point. You named Yud Kei Vavke by saying Ado. What could be wrong with that? Why would the second position of the Rambam disagree? So you could have said, oh, Kriya Ksiv, two different. He says, no. Everyone agrees that's a pronunciation. Yeah, but?
If there's only one Shem and Yud, and he doesn't have intentions to be, he's saying Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. He doesn't have intentions to be.
Good. What's your name?
Daniel Austin.
Fantastic. He says, Bruce Graham goes on to say, he says, that day holds Mela. He gives the example, let's say Duchenim. The Kohen gets up and Duchenim. So he says, Yishmerechacha, Ado, V'yishmerecha. So that we certainly identify as a pronunciation of Yud Kei Vavke. That's what it says in the Chumash. There's a preset text. The Chumash has this Bechzav. Bechzav in the Chumash, it's Yud Kei Vavke. So that's the text. Okay, so if I pronounce it most generally, discussion of Maseches Yuma, generally a Kohen ought to pronounce it as Ado, but that's a pronunciation of Yud Kei Vavke. Daniel says, but as he said before, Ado is really, they're homophones. They're two words, two different words have the sound identical. How do I know which one I'm saying? So the Briskarov says that second day in the Rambam said by Mikala, Megadev, it's only say Yud Kei Vavke. Why? Because Mela, when there's a preset text, there's a pasuk in the Chumash, a pasuk in Tanakh, or Chazal crafted a bracha. So there's a preset text, and the text is Yud Kei Vavke. So you're pronouncing Ado, that's a pronunciation of the already existing text. But there's no preset text for cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not mandated anywhere. This Jew is choosing, making a horrific choice to say a vile statement of his own crafting. So that's why, like Daniel said, the Briskarov goes on to say in the third paragraph, the second day in the Rambam holds, he said Ado. So that could be Yud Kei Vavke, but that could also be Alv Dal Nun Yud. So that's no, and there's no preset text. He's going rogue. He's going off the rails here. So that's not necessarily a pronunciation of Yud Kei Vavke. That's not called. You might be asking me, but it's a suffix. I don't know which one it is. Right. So I believe the Rishon goes on to say, but I said before, the language that the Rambam had quoted in Parag Beis Halacha Zayin, the pasuk is V'nokev Shem Hashem Yumas. It's only if you specifically identify Shem Hashem. The second day the Rambam holds, to say Ado, it's not Menukav. It could be this or it could be that. So because it's Mesupak, you're definitely not in violation of the fullness of the Aver. The fullness of the Aver is only when you clearly identify. That's only if you pronounce it, yeah, whatever the Nakuda is to follow. And the Rambam said, no, this is primarily the pronunciation, that's the din. This is a pronunciation of Kei Vavke, even though there's no preset text, that's the reference. So already a gorgeous briskerov. Let's take a question. What's your name?
Zach Talkers.
Sorry?
Zach Talkers.
Yeah?
There's no preset text, but like, still it's clearly his intention that he's trying to curse Hashem.
Correct. So that's how the Briskarov goes on. I wish we had time, we don't right now, to read the third paragraph inside. But you can hold on to these sheets and feel free tonight, tomorrow, to go through the third paragraph inside. That's exactly part of what's driving the tension between the second and third days in the Rambam. I would love to take more questions if they're very short, because I want to be sensitive to your time. And I want to circle back to the two questions which we opened. I also want to be sensitive to your time so you can make it to
So you're not called Chavrusa on time.
You can just, if it's too long.
Yeah.
The first day in the Rambam, we didn't address, but seemingly it doesn't make sense, because the only reason why...
Good. Good question. I believe the Brisker, if I remember correctly, the Brisker Rambam talks about that in the first paragraph, in the last paragraph as well. And ironic, there'll be only... All 3 days fit in. That's the primary pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei.
But it's only good because it's Yud Kei Vav
Kei. Yeah, that's right.
It's actually more common than Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Because Yud Kei Vav Kei, he goes on to say, because that was the din. Zesh mi lo lam v'zeh zechri lo dar dar. The main way that a Jew is supposed to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei is Ado. Pronounce it with a Yud is not the dominant pronunciation. So the first day would hold, not only is there only one name, there has to be the miyuchad pronunciation of the miyuchad name. And the primary pronunciation, that's a din. It's a din, the chumash. The primary pronunciation of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's unique name is Ado. It's a din daraisa that you're generally not supposed to say. So
is that the way we say it now?
Yeah. I assume when you pronounce Tehem Hashem, you pronounce
I'm thinking, Ado. Yeah.
Right. So that, and that's a din daraisa. Pasuk l'chumash. So that's what Bishkrov says. All 3 days really are handling with this, no, in other words, Brother Britzkerov said, here we circle back to where we began. Britzkerov is so taken with his chakira, with the second sound of his chakira, is Zeshmi Laolama kriyaksiv, a global kriyaksiv, a default kriyaksiv, or is it a new, the Taras B'machash, a new non-phonetic pronunciation? Britzkerov is so taken by that second approach, he thinks all 3 days the Rambam subscribed to. Not everyone agrees. Not everyone agrees. Let's take a look. It's important you should be aware of the din that probably comes up more specific individual times in your day than any other. Close. And it's a one sif simen in Shulchan Aruch. One paragraph, but it packs a punch. Don't get scared. Something to work on. It's not going to happen tomorrow, 100%. That's fine. Over the course of months and years and decades, you will gradually grow into this. Try to do it once a week, and try to do it once a day, and eventually, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give you many decades of healthy living on this planet, and you'll grow into doing this increasingly. But it's nohag fundamentally, hundreds of times every day, probably thousands of times every day, maybe even tens of thousands of times every day, for an observant Jew. Simen hay. In Shulchan Aruch Arachayim, right at the beginning of, you wake up in the morning, and it takes you through, fellow uses bathroom, wash the sedayim, and then he's going to say in Simen Vav, he's going to say Asher Yatzar, and Shulchan Aruch actually takes you through the language of Asher Yatzar, what it means, very beautiful. Before you even get to the core content, to the middle, the body of Asher Yatzar, you said Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu. Saying Shem Hashem. Shulchan Aruch says, hold on 1 second. Are there any rules to know about saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? So he says, yes. Again, don't get scared. And don't beat yourself up if you're not doing this 100% tomorrow or next week or next year. But something to gradually, over the course of time, grow into. He says, the Jew says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Yichavein bevrachos, ideally I ought to focus when I say bracha. Not one pirush amilus. Talking to God. Hopefully a parent or a step-parent taught you that when you say thank you, don't say thank you like this. Like actually look and say thank you so much. So you're saying, you're talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, look him in the eye, actually focus on what you're saying. Focus on your bracha. And specifically, kishiyazgir Hashem, when you say Shem Hashem, what do you have in mind? He says Elokim means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is all-powerful. So how about you say Hashem? Hashem Elokeinu. So Elokeinu means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is all powerful. What does Hashem mean? Yichavein, the Shulchan Aruch says, Perish Kriyaso Ba'adnus, Shu Adon HaKol, and Kasiv Aso Ba'yud Kei, Shaha Yehoveh V'yiyah. Shulchan Aruch paskins that every time, ideally, when a Jew says Shem Hashem, should have in mind both the Kriya and the Ksiva. Both Adnus, Ado, which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the master, Adon, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, which captures all three tenses. Ha Yehovah V'yiyah. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond, transcends time. Time is a creature of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Time is, so to speak, a box
that God created, within which he proceeded to create, within the box of time and space, which are themselves creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu proceed to create the physical universe within that box. He doesn't, so to speak, that's also a human metaphor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, outside the box. He's not bound within time and space. They, time and space themselves are creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He transcends time. So Shulchan Aruch says, ideally, a Jew should strive to have both ideas in mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, captures, he's the eternal master of the universe. Adon HaKol, and Hayaho V'yeh. The Gra on the bottom, it was hard to get it, the actual copy of the page, so I cut and pasted. He says that's from the Tur, Rabbeinu Yonah. He said, the Gra goes on to say that he thinks the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur are misunderstanding the source. The Rabbeinu Yonah, in his Sefer Hayira, which is where he describes how a Jew ought to live, and Yonah is very famous for a very long Musa Sefer called Shari Tshuva. He talks about if a Jew fell into sin, we all fall into sin sometimes. Rabbi Yonah is a very graphic description of the many parts and of the process of tshuva, a very long and heavy sefer. And then he has a very short companion sefer called Sefer Yira, where he describes what life ought to look like. So like almost like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And in there he mentions this idea of having both in mind. Adon HaKol and HaYahov HaVeYiyah. That's what the Gra says over here. The Tur, Hotzio mi divrei Rabbeinu Yonah b'sefer HaYira. It starts, a Jew is saying Kriya Pasta, it's a Pasta Kriya Shema Kriya. A Jew is saying, the first Pasta Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKen Hashem HaChad. He says Hashem should have both in mind. But going, skipping for now to the third line, Aval Mashma Sham. He says that if you read the Rabbeinu Yonah further, the Gra disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, and he thinks they misunderstood him. Shulchan Aruch and the Tur are presenting as though this is always true throughout the day. You should be thinking both about Adnos and Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and the Gra says, I think that's a mystery in Rabbeinu Yonah. I think that he was only saying that by Kriyashma. Aval Mashma Sham Ein Tzarech Lachshav El Perish Kriyaso. Normally, you only have to think about Ado. Rak b'kriyashma shesham shnei hashem lasmar hayahov v'yiyeh. He says that thinking about hayahov v'yiyeh yud kei vav kei, that's part of the unique din. That's why he probably is driving at the unique din of kavanas kriyashma, kavanas pasuk rishon. But he says normally say shem hashem in some other non shema context is just adlus, just aleph da, just adon hakol. And why he says in the fourth line lechem ikar fi omek hadin. And that it, Gross thinks is a pashtus. If you think about the din deeply, why? Because throughout the Tanakh, the pashtus pshat is always the kri, not the ksiv. Av sheish ba'ksiva sodos gedolos and halacha moshe Sinai. Clearly, if there's a halacha moshe Sinai, that this word in the Torah should be written this way and pronounced that way, obviously there's meaning to both. Obviously, there may be deep Kabbalistic meaning to the ksiv. But whenever you have a pasuk in a halachic context, the din follows the kri, not the ksiv. The pashtus pshat is. The Kri, the Ksiv is additional layers of meaning, Kabbalistic layers of meaning, but the Pashut meaning is always the Kri. V'chein kan holchim achar hakriya b'nekudaso. And then the Gra goes on, I didn't have room, and I didn't think we have time, and I wasn't sure you have interest. He goes on to prove at great length, using various klali diktuk, which appealed to some of us, myself included. He says, if you study the diktuk of when you have a prefix attached to yud kei vav kei, you could tell. He thinks that you see that the Iker is the Alav Dal Nunyan. Okay. What the Gra just said fundamentally, that the Brisk Gra probably had in the back of his mind, is that it is Kriya Ksiv. The Gra is locked into the first Sa'ad in the Brisk Gra's Chakira, the one that he didn't even mention. He just jumped right away to what it really means is because he no doubt knew this Gra and thought at the very least the 3 days in the Rambam are not aligned with that. Okay, so what do we have? And we'll wrap up with one final point. We have a big, enormous din, such a fundamental din. How we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems like it's a pretty fundamental idea in our religion. Right? We got, and two ways of thinking about it, is it that there are two different terms and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will write one but doesn't want us to actually pronounce that one, he wants us to pronounce a different one instead, the Graz approach, Kriyuksiv, or should we take the approach of the Brisker Rav champion, which by the way might be pshat in the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur, that they go together, that there are two different ways of, when I say Ado, I'm not saying a different name in Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's a different pronunciation of the same name. It's relevant, tragically, in the context of the Isur Chomer Ad L'Ma'od of Mekal El Shem Hashem, it's relevant in a very happy and incredibly frequent way, in the din that in theory applies every single time you say Shem Hashem over the course of your day. And finally, it's relevant in an interesting quixotic way in the Shiloh which we began. The Moshe Feinstein Shiloh about the drop of wax that falls on the Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the din? Said if it's a part of the Chumash and not landing, Zuntay, I'll be pashtu to say the Torah's tasher, but I can't see that word. So if I could peel the wax off, okay, and the letters are still intact, give all of it. If I'm going to peel the wax of a Shem Hashem, I run the risk of peeling off the ink of the Shem Hashem also, Mechikas Hashem. So can I be Yotze if the Yud Kei Vav Kei is covered over? It probably depends on this Chakir. Because if it's a Kriyuksiv, the way the Gra understands, so then I'll be Pashtus, and that's what Moshe Feinstein writes, when you have a Kriya Ksiv, I don't need to look at the Ksiv and then pronounce the Kri. That's not the word that I'm reading. The din is that there's one word that appears in the Chumash, I'm supposed to say a different word. So Moshe assumes, when you have a Kriya Ksiv, if you want to, you could look away for a moment and just say the Kri, Baal Peh. So if you say like the Gra, that it's a Kriya Ksiv, that the nature of the din Zeshmi Olam is every single time you have Yud Kei Vav Kei, the default Kriya Ksiv, you see, it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, but you pronounce a different word, Av Dal Nun Yud. Okay. So it's like a drop of wax in the other Kriya Ksiv. Gesund to hate, I don't need to read it. Baruch Hashem, the wax fell in the right spot. But if you understand the way the Brisker Rav wanted to, the second side, and no, Ado is a second non-phonetic pronunciation, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So you have to look at Yud Kei Vav Kei when you say it. You're not going to pronounce it phonetically, but you are pronouncing it. This is a new, interesting, totally non-phonetic, G-H-O-T-I style, Lahavdil, pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. So then, it's not a creative. It's you're reading what's written there. So that's going to happen afkamina, Lahalacha. Not only for the terrible crime, that first seemed like a rabbit hole, a detail of Megadim, which got us to the nature of Shem Hashem, which also applies in terms of the kavana I ought to have, but also is relevant in terms of the din of Kriya Sator. So I hope you enjoyed this first Tom of Brisk. We'll Mirtz Hashem continue tomorrow. If I could ask you for a favor, if you don't mind bringing your Gemara Megillah, I would have started with this, but I had no way of letting you know. And so Shem Hashem is definitely a beautiful way to start. I would love to show you a Brisker Rav that puts together, so weaves together two different Gemaras and Megillah in absolutely gorgeous fashion. Anyone learn Masechet Gittin? This will appeal to you as well. Chevri Ashikoyach. Looking gay now, the Chevri.